Father, we don't take lightly the time we have together as the body of Christ in the corporate setting, nor do we take lightly the time that we have with you. Every moment is an opportunity to walk in your presence. Lord Jesus, when you were on earth, there was perfect harmony with the Father. You never missed it, not one time. When you were on the cross and you said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't because you had done anything wrong. That was the point at which sin was placed upon you and the Father looked away. There was separation for the first time. But you walked in perfect harmony with the will of the Father. You learned who you were in the Word and by the Spirit's revelation. And you always did what pleased the Father. It says you were tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Not one time did you mess up. Not one time. You walked it wholly and perfectly. And you walked that to fulfill your priestly and sacrificial ministry. But you also did it to show us how it's done. You were the first one who walked it perfectly and the only one who did and who walked it to completion. You said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. And that's our desire too. We are in this time and this place as those that the baton has been passed to. We're here. We're running the race. We're those who are the anchor leg to bring home all that you want done in the church age. You left us here for that purpose. And dear God, forgive me of all of the carnality that I have walked in and lived in. All of the distractedness and the searching for other things. Dear God, forgive me. Oh Lord, you are good and only good and always good, and I hunger to know you more. I hunger to see others know you and know you more. And tonight, we've gathered in this place to meet with you. Thank you for showing up. Lord Jesus, we've gathered in your name. This is your time. In the congregation of the righteous. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Jesus, we thank you that you're the head of the church, and we don't want to do anything to grieve our God. So have your way now. Have your way now. Have your way now. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. And Saul has done some stuff wrong. And God had given commandment of what to do and what not to do. And Saul did just what he was told not to do. And he's going to offer an offering, a sacrifice. And Samuel says unto him here, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. All of the sacrifices that we can ever make mean really nothing without obedience. Now, when we offer sacrifices in obedience, that's a wonderful thing. But if we're trying to offer sacrifices in place of obedience, it just doesn't work. If God says to do something and we don't do it, no matter how much money you give or no matter what you think you can do in place of that, it will not be enough. It won't. You cannot substitute anything for obedience. Obedience is absolutely vital. Now, when it comes to walking with God, We need to put Him first and foremost above everything else and above everyone else and above every other voice. Because there's going to be a lot of voices, and especially in the time in which we live, there have always been a lot of voices. But the time in which we live, I can pull my phone up right now, turn the volume up, and start scrolling through things, and you're going to hear voice after voice after voice. You're going to hear a whole lot of voices, and they're going to be telling you things that are different than what God says. So we've got to listen to what He says, because that's the most important thing. Obedience to God is the most important thing that we can do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, we talk much about finances, and that is a section of Scripture that has a whole lot to do with finances. And, you know, of course, we go to chapter 9, and we talk about verses 6 through 8 a lot, but this actually says here, for you know the grace, whoops, no, I don't want verse 9, I want verse 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The first thing that we need to understand is we've got to give ourselves to Him above everything else. When Jesus called His disciples to Him and He chose 12, the first and most important thing that he had for them was not to go out and preach. It was not to go out and heal the sick. It was not to go out and raise the dead. It was not to go out and cast out demons. The first and greatest commandment, really, was to be with Him. Matter of fact, you'll find that in the book of Mark, if I can find it really quickly here. Mark chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, and He goes up into a mountain and calls unto Him whom He would. This is the choosing of the 12. And they came unto Him, and He ordained 12. He ordained 12, verse 14. And He ordained 12. And we kind of skip over this, because we go on to that He might send them forth to preach. But the most important part of this is He ordained 12, that they should be with Him. That is the most important part of that verse. No matter what we have that we think is important, everything pales in comparison to being with Him. Everything. And just as they, at Corinth, it says they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. And I love that latter part of that. They gave themselves to the Lord and to us, because what they did was then they submitted to the authority in the church. Paul's talking about himself and those that were in positions of authority there. But the most important part of it was they gave themselves to the Lord. Now, we've been talking on Wednesday nights about growing up spiritually and why that is so important. And we want to grow up, we want to be mature, and we know that as we grow up and we're mature, there are great things about this. We learn to stand on our own, and I don't mean without God. What I mean is we're not always relying on somebody else. Now, I have pastored, this is the third church that I've pastored. And the first church that I pastored, I had people I was the person that they would go to for everything. They leaned on me. They're getting ready to go to the doctor, and I do not mind praying for people. I don't mean that. I'm prefacing it with that. But they would want me to pray for them, just going to the doctor, just for a checkup. You don't need me to pray for you for a checkup. You don't, and you know, those sorts of things, that it shows great immaturity. So one thing about growing up and maturing is you learn to stand and you learn to do things on your own, where you do not drain others. Now, I'm not talking about you guys. You guys are not a drain. I'm being 100% honest. This is one of the finest churches I've ever been in. This is a great church. I am so blessed to pastor this church. But there are many churches where the pastor is drained because the people will not grow up. So growing up, one great aspect of growing up is you learn to stand. You learn to walk on your own. You know, when we see a small child, it's so much fun watching them take those first few steps. But man, after they take those first few steps, you know, our oldest grandson, you know, he learned to walk at the foyer of our church. There were, you know, we were just kind of sitting around him, and he walked from one to the other to the other. And then we got a video of him a couple days later, and he's you know, because you had to kind of stand him up, and then he'd take off walking. A couple days later, his mom had him out in the yard, and he's just sitting there, and then he gets up and just takes off. And that's the way it should be in the body of Christ, that we learn to walk, and then we learn to walk on our own, and to do some things on our own. I'm not saying that you won't ever need anybody. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying one great thing about growing up spiritually is we learn to do things for ourselves. And honestly, then you can become someone that others who are less mature can lean on. And you can help them. So growing up is great in that aspect. But the greatest thing about growing up is that we become more usable to God. He's never going to abuse you. But as we grow up, He can do more with you, more through you, more for other people. And the great thing about us growing up is we can be used of God more and more and more. That's the biggest thing about growing up. But the most important thing about growing up is to be with Him. It's to be with Him. You will never discover as much anywhere else as you will just being with Him. Now, being with Him, there are different facets of that. And one of those facets of that is being someone who listens to Him. Being someone who listens to Him. You know, it says in the book of James chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. So asking is important. But one aspect of prayer is listening. Because prayer is not a one-way conversation. It is two-way. And when we learn to communicate with God in prayer, He will talk to you. And you will learn to listen, and you will learn to trust Him. Because He'll never abuse you. He is not an abusive father. He is a good, good God. So, we want to grow up. But when we talk about growing up, one of the things about growing up is you learn to walk on your own. And you learn how to access the provision of God. And that's great. But again, we want to be mature so that God can use us more. Now, the church that Jesus is going to return for, I want to look at very briefly, and then we'll move on. Let's go over to Ephesians 4. Chapter 5. Then we'll go back to chapter 4 here in a moment. And in chapter 5, it says here, let's go to verse 25 just to give a little context here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, okay? The church. That's important because I want you to understand the it that he's going to talk about here in a moment is the church. The context is the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. What's the it? The church. By the washing of the water of the word. So we are cleansed, we are sanctified by the word of God. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So, he is going to present the church to himself. He is going to present it to himself, and it is going to be a glorious church. It is going to be a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So, the church that he's going to present to himself, this is the church that he's coming back for, is going to be one that is holy and without blemish. It is going to be without spot or wrinkle. It's going to be a clean, pure, holy church. This is the church that Jesus is going to return for. It's going to be a holy church. It's going to be a clean church. It's also going to be a glorious church. It's going to shine. It's going to be seen as holy. But when you look at the word glorious, the root of that is glory. It is going to be a church of glory. Well, when you talk about glory, it talks about in the book of Romans chapter 6, and then in Romans chapter 8, it talks about Jesus being raised from the dead by the Spirit. That's in chapter 8. In chapter 6, it says that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of God. So, when you talk about the glory of God, you're talking about a Holy Ghost church. A glorious church, a church of glory, is a Holy Ghost church. It's a church where the Holy Ghost is in operation, in manifestation. So, for us to grow up and to become mature, one of the things that we need to do is learn to operate with the Holy Ghost. God has had us teaching you and you learning to operate with Him. That has been probably the main thrust of this church for the last couple of years, is teaching you how to operate with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because this is the church that Jesus is going to return for. And what are we doing? We're growing up into Him. We're growing up and maturing. We're growing up. So He's going to return for a church that is holy. He's going to return for a church that is pure. But He's also going to return for a church that's powerful. It's a glorious church. It's a church of glory. And it is a powerful church. Because when you talk about a Holy Ghost church, it's a church of power. Then let's go back to the fourth chapter. It says in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children. So he talks about us growing up into Him. So that we would be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by winds of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, it's going to be a pure church, or a holy church. It's going to be a Holy Ghost church. It's going to be a powerful church. It's going to be a mature church, because he talks about growing up into Him, which is the head, even Christ. He says that when you grow up, you're not swept from point to point by winds of doctrine. There's a lot of winds of doctrine, and they cycle. And we hear the same things come back. I don't know how often. I mean, I've heard people talk about it about every 15 years. You get basically the same false doctrines that come back. And we see it happen. And we've seen it over and over and over again in church history. And he says, I want you to grow up to be like Him. You see, Jesus was not moved by winds of doctrine. And we need to be like Him, not moved by winds of doctrine. So we need to grow up and be like Him. Now, when God wants to do something in the earth, He begins to stir the hearts of people. You say, well, no, God can do what He wants. I'll emphasize this again. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and verse 18. Verses 18 and 19 and 20. That's the last three verses of the book of Matthew. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority, it says power in the King James, but it's all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. When He said, go ye therefore, what He is saying is, it's been given to me, now I give it to you, now go and act on my behalf. Be exactly what I was when I was physically there, you be because you're physically there. We are the physical body of Christ in the earth. Millions of believers. Quite possibly a billion believers. I don't know how many there are. There's a lot of believers. And He wants us to act on His behalf. Because He gave us the authority to act, He can't just do anything He wants. And God, I'm telling you, wants to do some stuff, because if you are sensitive at all, I mean at all, you know Jesus is coming back soon. You can see it externally, but you need to get this internally by the Spirit, by your spirit, connected with the Holy Ghost. And God, when He wants to do something, begins to stir the hearts of people to pray. He begins to stir the hearts of people to speak. He begins to stir the hearts of people to declare some things. Why? Because it gives Him then the right to move, because we ask Him to. It gives Him the right to move because we declare what He has said. Growing up into Him, which is the head, growing up to a mature position means we allow God to act in the earth with greater impact. So when we grow up, we become more and more and more and more and more like Jesus. And when we do, He then can move. I'm telling you, God is stirring the hearts of people now. And He's doing this to pray. He's doing this to speak. He's doing this to declare. He's doing this to avow some things. He's doing this, and then we will act and we will go. But we will do so because we've spent time with Him, because we know Him, because He has stirred our hearts, because we're growing up into Him more and more. And the more that we are like Him, the more He can do through us. Us growing up is good for us, but it's not about us. It's about the world. It's about other people. So us growing up is not all about me. The Word of Faith movement can be very, very self-centered. And we have been for a long time. But the thing of it is, when we learn to connect with God, it will take a lot of that selfishness out of the picture. We go here often, but Isaiah 43... Isaiah 43 and verse 26. And God says, put me in remembrance. Not because He's got a bad memory. What He's saying is, tell me what I've said to you. Tell me what I've said to you. Tell me what I've spoken. Why? Don't you remember? Of course I do. But you see, we're in the earth. He's given us authority. And because He's given us authority in the earth, He will stir the hearts of men to pray. He will say, what have I said to you? What have I deposited into your heart? What have I given to you? Now, speak it back to me. Put me in remembrance and let us plead together. This is not about you getting your way so you beg God. This is about coming together with Him. We together plead the case. That's what He's talking about. We come together with Him and the two of us plead the case because I am putting Him in remembrance of what He has already declared, what He has already said, what He has stirred my heart to, what He has deposited in me, what He wants done in the earth. But too many of us are focused just on our needs being met. And God wants every need met. He's already supplied it. But He wants us to grow up to get beyond my need. And He wants us to grow up to get to the point where I'm not just using my faith for me. I'm hooking up with Him. And what He wants me to do, I do. I declare what He says. And you're going to find out. You're going to pray some things and you allow God to move, but you're going to declare some things. You're flat out going to declare some things because God is going to drop it into your heart and He's going to say, what did I say to you? Now declare it. Great example of doing this is Dr. Mary Frances Varallo. She prays, but then there's other times in her ministry, you see her rise up and declare it. And it's not just because she's a prophet. It is because she knows God. And she knows that voice of God. And she knows how to operate with Him. God's raising up a generation. That be us. We are the rapture generation. That's us. We are the ones that are going to go out of here. But we are the ones who are going to do what He wants to see the greatest move that this planet has ever seen up to this point take place in the earth. Growing up. Growing up is not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about us becoming what He wants us to be so that He can get things done in the earth. And He's going to. He's going to. So He says, let us together plead. Let us together plead that thou mayest be justified, that we can get done what He wants done. Now, when we begin to grasp these things, we're going to see, and you know, I can talk all day long about some of the things that will help you to grow up, and I have a few things there that we can talk about with that. But I want you to understand that it's not, again, and I've really been emphasizing this tonight, you growing up is not just for you.
Right.
And the more mature you become, the more impacting you become, I'll be honest with you, the more of a target you become. The enemy will come against you. So when we grow up, it's a warning. The enemy's going to come. But as you grow up, you're going to learn how you deal with that. You know, we've got the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. We have the Holy Spirit. The enemy, every move he makes, God knows about before it ever comes to pass. And it tells us one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit was going to come, you know, one of the purposes was to show you things to come. He's going to show you the enemy is going to begin to attack you here, so get strong. He's going to encourage you to build yourself up in some areas. And as he does, build yourself up there. And get strong there. And I'll tell you what, there are going to be things, certain areas, and a great natural illustration of this is the building of the wall around Jerusalem. When Nehemiah went back in and they rebuilt the wall, it took 52 days. It had been lying in ruins for a long time. A quick work took place. They rebuilt that wall in 52 days. But there were places where there had been gaps in the wall and the enemy had just been able to run in and do whatever he wanted. But I guarantee you that when they built those walls up, some of the, and you know, it was natural enemies there. Some of those natural enemies thought those gaps were still there. And I'm sure they ran into some walls. Well, when God begins to deal with you about an area, and you begin to deal with that, and you begin to strengthen yourself in that, and you begin to grow in that, you begin to get into the Word, and God shows you, here's what you need to do, and here's how you do it. And you, the enemy, he's not going to give up, but an area that was once a weakness can become a strength. And that's the way that it needs to be. And so the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He's gonna reveal things without even showing you necessarily that the enemy's going to attack you. He's going to be dealing with you so that you're ready in advance, because that's how he works. That's one of the purposes for him being here. He prepares us. And when the enemy comes, where there was once a gap, there's not anymore. But I am warning you, as we grow up, the enemy is not going to leave you alone. But don't be afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God knows, God sees, and God has everything you need. Just as when he sent Abraham to sacrifice his son on the mountain, he had the ram on the way before Abraham got there. It wasn't, oh, I need to bring something into existence, pop, there it is. No, he had that ram on the way. That's why Abraham built an altar and called it Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees ahead, and has everything I need. You are a child of Jehovah Jireh. Don't be afraid of the enemy. I'm just telling you, as you grow up, you're going to face new challenges. But God is good. God is good. So these things that God is going to do, he's going to do through you as you grow up. And you're going to pray some things. And like I said, you're going to declare some things. But it isn't all for you. It isn't all for me. It isn't all, you know, about us. It's about others. So how do we grow up? How do we grow up? Well, again, you're going to need to spend time with God. And that means that you're going to have to shut some things down that maybe you have been consuming you more than they should have. As we listen to the Spirit of God, he'll quicken you on these things. There'll be some things that just come real quick. And yeah, I'm going to have to. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily sin. That's not what I'm talking about. There are things that I need to shut down. You know, I can't do this as much. I need to spend more time with my God. I remember years and years ago, you realize music is not evil. But if it's the only thing you spend time with, and you don't spend time with God, I don't care if it's worship music. It needs to be shut down so you can spend time with him. Whatever it is, we need to listen to him. Now, one way you're going to become strong is spending time with him in the Word. The Word of God is food for your spirit. And you cannot do without it. You need to feed on the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ, the word of God, let the word dwell in you richly. You've got to be putting it in on a consistent basis. And you will feed yourself on this. You'll grow on this. In 1 Peter, I believe it is, it says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. The sincere milk of the Word of God. There are some real basic things. Then you get into the Word of God and it's going to take you to some deeper things. And then you get into the Word of God more and it's going to take you into some deeper things. But and also in that section of Scripture where it talks about that in Peter, and I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1, if I'm not mistaken. But he says desire the sincere. When he says desire, that is written in the imperative mood. Or in the imperative voice, whatever it is, tense voice, mood, I don't remember which one. But what that means is it's an absolute command. He says, you hunger for it. You desire the Word. You desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The Word of God is food for your spirit. Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. You get into the Word of God, you're going to find out, man, is it good. You probably will find yourself getting into the Word of God, and you may not verbalize it, but you may. You may go, oh, man, that's good. It's almost like taking a bite of food. You know, maybe you like steak. Oh, that's good. You'll find yourself responding the same way when you get into the Word of God. You're tasting of Him. You can't separate Him and His Word. And you're partaking of Him. And so we get into Him in the Word. And we partake of Him that way. And man, is that good. You'll find yourself really finding the richness of the Word of God. And it will dwell in you richly. It will, and then you've got to give it freedom in you. You've got to give it freedom in you. But the first thing, again, about growing up, you know, one way that you do it, how do you grow up? You're going to feed on the Word of God. And just reading it, just study, and study is also important. But reading is about, it's one of the most important things you'll ever do is reading the Word of God. Just simply reading it. Just simply reading it. And he has put in the Word, interwoven with the written Word of God, is the Spirit of God. So you find out, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. So the Spirit of God is in the Scriptures. And when you get in the Scriptures and you begin to partake of the Scriptures and you begin to feed on the Scriptures, you're feeding on the Spirit of God. You learn to flow with Him by getting in the Word, because He's in the Word. He's in the Word. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that stands not in the way of sinners, nor stands in the seat of scoffers. Yeah. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So even when you get into the Word of God, you need to delight in it. His delight is in the Word of God. It's in the law of the Lord. And in His law does He meditate day and night. To meditate will help you to grow. It will help you to grow. And then Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you're to meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. So we need to get in the Word of God. We need to meditate on it. We need to think on it. We need to roll it around in our mind and speak it over and over and over again. The word meditate, when you look it up, its meaning, its real meaning is to mutter. It's to mutter it over and over again, to speak it over and over again. So the word, when we begin to do that, we begin to meditate on it. What good is that? Well, when you begin to think on it, it begins to change your thinking. But what is the purpose of meditating on the Word of God? It will bring prosperity and success, but that's not the purpose of meditating on the Word of God. The purpose, according to this verse, this book of the law, don't get hung up on that, this Word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. It should always be coming out. But you're to meditate on it day and night. You're to speak it. You're to roll it around in your mind. You're to meditate on it. You're to mutter it over and over again, day and night, so that you may what? Observe to do it. The purpose of meditating on the Word of God is to be a doer of the Word of God. And when you are a doer of the Word of God, it brings prosperity and success. It may not be prosperity and success according to the world's standard, but according to God's standard, it is. So, this book of the law is to constantly be coming out of our mouth. This Word of God is to constantly be coming out of our mouth. Why? So that we become a doer of the Word. That's the next thing that I wanted to talk about you growing up. You got to be in the Word of God. But not only in the Word of God, you've got to get to the point where you do it, you obey it. And one of the ways that you're going to do that is by meditating on the Word of God. Next week, we'll probably pick up here again and move forward a little bit. But I will say this, when it talks about obeying the Word of God, that has two different aspects to it. Number one is the written Word of God. One of the things, you know, I said the Word of Faith message and the Word of Faith churches, we can be very self-centered. It can become, I use my faith to receive from God all that He's provided for me, and that is good. But we often don't do anything other than that. It's about us receiving. And God wants us also to be obeying the Word of God that says, go ye therefore. He wants us to be going. He wants us to be bringing the lost in. Go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them which believe. That's Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. Down through the end of the chapter. And one of the things that he says is go. And one of the things that you can do is simply invite people to church. You can live a life before them, sure. But invite them to church. Go. Don't just sit back. Go. Invite people. Go. Share the gospel. Go. Open your eyes and wait for opportunities. No, we don't wait for opportunities. We go, and God will enlighten your eyes to opportunities. Great man of God said, God goes when the church goes. God moves when the church moves. We need to be moving. One of the big commands is to go. So, if we're going to obey the Word of God, we need to meditate on it. We meditate on it. It does not force you to obey. What it does, when you meditate on the Word of God, it puts the Word of God first, and it's the first thing that rises. I'll close with this. Anybody ever use a sponge? I think we've all used a sponge. If you've got something, yeah, my wife says no. If you've got a sponge and, you know, you got something on the counter and you go over and you wipe that up and it's, let's say there's a lot of it, you soak it up in that sponge. What happens when you press on that sponge? What's in it comes out. That's what meditating on the Word of God does. What's in it comes out. It causes the Word of God to rise first, and it gives you the opportunity to obey. It will not force you to obey, but it causes the Word to rise first, and you give that Word first place when it does rise. Let me go ahead and pray, and we'll close. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. You are so good to us, so precious to us, Almighty God. Oh, yeah. You are a consuming fire. You consume us, but you do not destroy us. Just as the burning bush, it was consumed and yet not consumed, not burned up. You are, according to the book of Hebrews, you are a consuming fire. Consume us. Let be our burning patient. Be that which lights us and keeps us afire, ablaze. And let others come and see us burn. Oh, dear God. Dear God, consume us. We will be consumed by you and not burned up, but forever on fire with the fire of the Spirit of God. Holy One, I pray that you would enlighten our eyes to redeem the time, to make wise and sacred use of every moment and opportunity. Enlighten our eyes to the moments and the opportunities so that we step up, we step out, we step in, and we take advantage of those moments and opportunities, and we make wise and sacred use. Instead of just blazing a trail through life, that God, we would be obedient to you, to use those moments, to buy them up, and to make wise and sacred use. Enlighten our eyes to those opportunities. Set us upon the pathway that Father, you have for us. Forgive us for where we've abandoned that pathway. Set us upon it once again. And God, direct us to minister those moments of ministry, those times, those intersections of the lines of our lives with the lines of others' lives. God, use us to encourage, exhort, and comfort one another. But God, use us to pray. Use us to declare. And God, revive the church. Set us on fire like never before. And awaken the lost to the reality of you. Use us, God, in this last day, great move. And I thank you. I thank you for your protection as we go, your direction as we go. And if necessary, your correction. We love you, God. We step into new arenas with you. In Jesus' name, amen.